Happy Sabbath, everyone. To begin, I recently attended an international conference in the last couple months in Boston, where I was intrigued by one of the keynote speakers, and the speaker was Rene Carreal. Now, Mr. Carreal works with FTSE 100 and Fortune 500 leaders, and he provides counseling and he provides leadership training to these individuals. He does keynotes, retreats, and coaching. And the keynote message he gave revolved around the meaning of leadership. And I found it interesting that at one point of his presentation, he distinguished and contrasted leadership from management. Now, in our minds, we might, as I did, I would think of them synonymously. They're the same, leadership, management. But he pointed out they are different. In his presentation, he noted that leadership is not management. It is how you energize your people toward your vision. Leadership is not management. So I found the following definition in Strategic CFO, the website, on what is management. So it stated, what is management? The management definition is a single or a group of individuals who challenges or oversees a person or collective group of people in efforts to accomplish desired goals and objectives. Furthermore, the definition of management includes the ability to plan, organize, monitor, and direct individuals. Now, Reactive Executive, which is an international firm that deals with transition management, provides the following definition of leadership. Leadership is the ability to inspire, guide, and influence teams towards the accomplishment of common goals. The concept goes well beyond the simple hierarchical authority and is based on interpersonal skills, values, and a commitment to collective success. Leadership also extends into daily life and can be expressed within family, friends, or within the community. Now, his presentation, Rene Carreal, provided the following examples through individual terms between leadership and management. For management, he noted mission, strategy, plans, tasks, and processes. For leadership, he noted purpose, vision, people, teams, culture. As you can see, just by this simple example, leadership is different from management. Leadership, as noted in the example definition from Reactive Executive, extends into daily life and can be expressed within family, friends, or within community. Leadership doesn't necessarily require having people to report to you. It's often about setting an example and helping others grow. In reality, there are managers who are not leaders, and there are leaders who are not managers. A quote by John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States, puts the concept of leadership in perspective. It states, if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. In other words, each and every one of us, young and old, can practice leadership. We all interact with people, whether it's our family, whether it's people in the community, people in our schools. We all interact with people, co-workers, neighbors, church members. For my message today, I would like to focus on leadership as presented in the Bible. Does our calling involve leadership? As a member of God's family, are we, every one of us, young or old, called to be a leader? I would propose that in our journey in the way, it is intricately involved with the idea of leadership, not just about management or positions of authority. God's leadership is entwined with our faith, guiding us to lead with integrity, humility, and vision. Indeed, the leadership of which I speak is coined in the modern-day vernacular, servant leadership. I would like to read from Forbes, Five Qualities of a Servant Leadership in 2004. The term servant leadership is a timeless concept that was exemplified in history. For example, when Jesus referenced leading as a servant in the Bible. However, it was coined and swelled into a movement by the scholar Robert K. Greenleaf in his 1970 essay, appropriately titled, The Servant as Leader. Though the term servant leadership is generally applied to business, there really is an application for us in our personal lives, in our lives as members of God's family. This is what I would like to explore with you today. We will explore how scriptures define godly leadership and how each and every one of us can and should practice servant leadership. So the title of this message is Our Calling to Servant Leadership. To begin, I want to review some examples of those who practice steward leadership within the Bible. Mark 10, verse 41. Mark 10, verse 41. One example of servant leadership is Jesus Christ. And I'd like to read from the New International Version. It states, Mark 10, verse 41, when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Verse 43, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And verse 44, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. In this example, Jesus describes the concept of servant leadership. Jesus led by example, showing that leadership is not about asserting dominance, but it's about lifting up others, serving their needs, being concerned for others. Jesus Christ is the example, even noted in Forbes, of servant leadership. But there are also two other examples within the Bible that I would like to point to as well. Next is Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah exhibited servant leadership as his role as governor of Judah. As we know, he led the efforts to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem despite facing incredible opposition and taking personal risk. Nehemiah 5, verse 14, and I'd like to read through verse 18. And I would like to read also from the New Living Translation, Nehemiah 5, verses 14 through 18. And it begins, for the entire 12 years that I was governor of Judah, from the 20th year to the 32nd year of the reign of King Artaxerxes, neither I or my officials drew on our official food allowance. The former governors, in contrast, had laid heavy burdens on the people, demanding a daily ration of food and wine, besides 40 pieces of silver. Even their assistants took advantage of the people, but because I feared God, I did not act that way. Verse 16, I also devoted myself to working on the wall and refused to acquire any land. And when I required all my servants to spend time working on the wall, I asked for nothing, even though I regularly fed 150 Jewish officials at my table, besides all the visitors from other lands. Verse 18, the provisions I paid for each day included one choice sheep or goats and a large number of poultry, and every 10 days we needed a large supply of all kinds of wine. Yet I refused to claim the governor's food allowance because the people already carried a heavy burden. We can see here that Nehemiah refused to take advantage of the people. He could have, he had the authority to, but he refused to take the governor's food allowance to avoid burdening the people. And instead, he supported them from his own resources. Let's also look at Paul, another example of servant leadership. Paul. And the Apostle Paul exhibited servant leadership through his dedication of spreading the gospel and his self-sacrificing approach to the ministry. Acts 20, verse 34. I'd like to read from the New King James, Acts 20, verse 34. Acts 20, verse 34. It states, "Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said is more blessed to give than receive." In these verses, Paul's showing and speaks about his own example of working to support himself and his companions, encouraging others to work hard and help the weak. That is servant leadership. Servant leadership is effectively a leadership philosophy that focuses on the serving of others instead of seeking power or control. For the remainder of this message, I would like to explore five characteristics of a servant leader and then review these in light of Scripture. So what's the first biblical characteristic of a servant leader? Servant leaders are selfless. Servant leaders are selfless. The servant leader is servant first. It begins with a natural feeling that one wants to serve first, by Robert Greenleaf. Servant leaders effectively put the needs of others before their own. The servant leader is motivated by selflessness, not by self. A selfless person acts on the focus of serving others and serving their best interest. Sometimes, even at a cost of personal sacrifice. They are caring. They display kindness and concern for others. A truly selfless person cares for the people they serve. Philippians 2, verses 3 to 4. Philippians 2, verses 3 to 4. Philippians 2, verses 3 to 4. It states, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but the interests of others." The passage calls for us to prioritize others' needs and well-being above our own desires, reflecting the essence of servant leadership. It's about making decisions or taking actions that benefit others. And even at times, if it means we have to set aside some of our own preferences, our own comfort. It's about letting others shine and succeed, even if it means we have to stay in the background. Harry S. Truman stated, "It is amazing what you can achieve if you don't care who gets the credit." 1 Corinthians 10, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 24. Again, going through this concept of selflessness in servant leadership. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 24 states, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." Here Paul instructs us to focus on benefiting others than pursuing our own interests, aligning the idea of servant leadership with the thinking of others first. Romans 15, verse 1. Romans 15, verse 1. We'll read through verse 2. It states, "We then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." The English Standard Version provides what I believe is a clearer translation. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Paul emphasizes again the need to support and build up others, especially those who are weaker or in need, rather than focusing solely on our own comfort, our own desires. Now, it's not saying that we don't look out for our own comfort and our own desires, but we shouldn't exclude others who are in need. Ours is not a solo journey. We are part of a family. We are part of a family of God. We're part of a community of those made in the image of God. Ours is not a solo journey. A second biblical characteristic of our calling to be a servant leadership is servant leaders encourage others. Servant leaders encourage others. From John C. Maxwell, encouragement is the essence of servant leadership. It's about believing in others and empowering them to reach heights they never imagined. A servant leader is positive and encouraging. They make others feel valued and appreciated. And we can see this in the following scriptures. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Proverbs 12, verse 25. And I'd like to read from the English Standard Version, Proverbs 12, verse 25. It states, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad." A servant leader provides kind words and encouraging words that help to mitigate or alleviate anxiety in others. The scripture shows that a positive word and an encouraging word is powerful. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Proverbs 16, verse 24 says, "Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." The New Living Translation provides the following rendition. "Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body." This verse highlights the power of kind and encouraging words. A servant leader uses their speech to uplift, to encourage. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Now, in the beginning of 1 Thessalonians, it discusses the Lord coming suddenly as a thief in the night for us to watch. Then in verse 11, Paul makes the following statement. "Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. The NIV provides this rendition. "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as fact as you are doing." Encouragement, building each other up are key ways servant leaders add to value, fostering growth and support in the community. Being kind in actions and speech are important in uncertain times. There are times when every one of us needs a little bit of encouragement, just like the card I received recently. A small gesture, a note, a kind word may just take a little small bit of effort, but the impact can remain for a while. I think Mother Teresa says it well with the following quote, "Kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless." Mother Teresa emphasized that even brief moments of kindness, even a kind word, a smile, positive words can have lasting impact, resonating far beyond their initial expression. The third characteristic of our calling to be a servant leader is servant leaders actively listen. Servant leaders actively listen. A quote here states, "Great leaders are willing to sacrifice their own personal interests to meet the needs of the people they serve. They listen deeply and act on what they hear." Servant leaders allow others to share their thoughts and opinions. And when they do, they give them their full attention without interrupting or without immediately offering solutions. Active listening is trying to understand not only what the person is saying, but the intention and the message behind it. Active listening shows respect and helps build stronger, more trusting relationships. Proverbs 18, verse 13. Proverbs 18, verse 13. Proverbs 18, verse 13 states, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him." This passage highlights the importance of listening before responding, suggesting that hasty replies without listening can lead to foolishness. How many times were we caught up in a conversation and we're so focused on what we want to say next that we don't even hear what the person is saying? Proverbs 20, verse 5. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Proverbs 20, verse 5. It states, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." The English Standard Version renders this verse as follows: "The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." A servant leader is a good listener. A good listener draws out those deeper thoughts. What's really happening? What's really bothering you? What really is concerning you? It brings out those deeper thoughts and needs of others, showing insight and understanding, showing compassion, showing patience in communication. Galatians 6, verse 2. Galatians 6, verse 2. Galatians 6, verse 2. It states, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." The NIV states it, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." The term burden here refers to any significant difficulty or struggle or weight that someone carries. This could include physical, emotional, spiritual challenges. Carrying each other's burdens involves showing empathy and providing practical support. It means actively listening, offering encouragement, and helping to lessen the load that someone is carrying. However, to effectively carry out each other's burdens, the servant leader must first listen and truly understand the needs and the struggles of those they lead or those they interact with, whether it's family members, community, people in the church, co-workers. If we are not actively listening, how can we know how to help? Fourth biblical characteristic of being a servant leader is servant leaders lead by example. Servant leaders lead by example. A quote from Ken Blanchard, "Servant leadership is not about being a servant, it's about serving others by leading with integrity and leading by example." Servant leaders work hard to set an example for those around them. They set the standard for how things should be done. Likewise, as we, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to be, every one of us are to be an example of Christ living through us. Matthew 5, verse 16. Matthew 5, verse 16. Matthew 5, verse 16. It states in Matthew 5, verse 16, "Let your lights shine, so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus uses the example of a light to describe the influence that Christians should have on the world. Just like a city on a hill or a lamp on a stand provides illumination, Christians are called to be visible and impactful in their actions and behaviors. The verse emphasizes that the purpose of letting one's light shine is not for personal recognition, but to draw attention to God. Good deeds are meant to be seen as a reflection of God's character, leading others not to glorify us, but to glorify God. In Matthew 5, verse 16, Jesus teaches that one's actions should reflect goodness and serve as a testimony to others, leading by example our walk in the faith. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 7. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 7. And it states in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, "So that you became examples to all Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything." Paul commends the Thessalonian church by becoming a model of faith to others, demonstrating the impact of leading by example. Philippians 2, verse 14. Philippians 2, verse 14. Philippians 2, verse 14. States, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky." To be called blameless and pure suggests living a life of integrity and sincerity. Being children of God without fault means standing out with righteous conduct, with ethical conduct, and we stand as a light against the negative influences of the surrounding world. We stand out through our example. The fifth biblical characteristic of a servant leader is servant leaders practice stewardship. Servant leaders practice stewardship. 1 Peter 4:10 states, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. One definition of stewardship that I found in dictionary.com states it as the responsible overseeing and protecting of something considered worth caring for and preserving. Stewardship in this context is about working towards the greater good and a demonstration of a commitment to serve the needs of others. It understands that everybody is made in the image of God. A quote from Matt Tenney states, "Stewardship is an essential part of servant leadership. Servant leaders, like good stewards, are more focused on care than control, value resources and people which they've been entrusted, and ensure that they're leaving a strong legacy behind that inspires others." Servant leaders' value are driven towards excellence and achieving high goals. But they also understand the importance of prioritizing relationships with those which they work with, whom they interact with, and in cases when they actually have opportunities to lead others. It's effectively a form of stewardship. You're valuing the relationship you have with others. Living a life of excellence, achievement, it's about using the gifts we have been blessed with. And we all have been given and blessed with gifts. And it prioritizes relationships whom we interact with by practicing godly servant leadership. And we can see this in the following scriptures. Colossians 3, verse 23 through 24. Colossians 3, verse 23 through 24. And it states, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." The Berean Study Bible, it went too fast. Okay, well, now I'm going to find it. Sorry. Berean Study Bible states, "Whatever you do, work with it with your whole being for the Lord and not for men." Paul encourages believers to work with their whole being, for striving for excellence in all they do, as if they are serving Jesus Christ. Do we think about that? When we help somebody, do we think that in a way we are serving Jesus Christ? And we give it that standard that we do as if we served the Lord. This aligns with achieving high standards and using one's gifts that we have been blessed with. In line with this, please turn to Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. And it states in Philippians 4, verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." The International Standard Version uses the last part of this verse 8 as, "If there's anything of excellence and there's anything praiseworthy, keep thinking about these things." Paul instructs believers to focus on whatever excellent is part of their thoughts, as part of their life. And it reflects the importance of pursuing excellence in what we do. Excellence does not mean expensive. I believe at times we can confuse those two words. Excellence is about the quality and effectiveness of something, while expensive is just about the cost. In line with seeking value or excellence in results, a servant leader also seeks it in relationship. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. It states, "And let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching." Other translations for the word exhorting use encourage, promote, motivate. The writer of Hebrews encourages believers to excel in encouraging and supporting one another, showing that prioritizing relationship is a key aspect of achieving excellence in the community. In this message, we discuss management and leadership. Management is the process of planning, organizing, leading, controlling resources and activities to attain organizational goals effectively and efficiently. Whereas leadership is the ability to inspire, to influence, to guide individuals or groups towards achieving a common vision or goal. Any one of us can be a leader. Any one of us is a leader. It doesn't require an organizational chart, but what it does require is an individual is willing to serve, willing to help others, inspire others by their actions, and by their example. In our walk of the way, leadership is defined by service to God, to others. Thus, being a servant leader is an aspect of our calling. We then explored five characteristics of servant leadership found in the Bible and applied scriptures that supported these characteristics. Servant leaders are selfless. We esteem others better than ourselves, seek others' well-being, bear with the failings of the weak. Servant leaders encourage others. A good word helps an anxious person. Kind words are like honey. Comfort and encourage each other. Servant leaders listen actively. Listen before responding. One who listens can draw out the thoughts of others, bear one another's burdens, but we have to listen in order to bear one another's burdens, in order to know one another's burdens. Then we lead by example. We are a light. The Thessalonians led by example. Live a life of integrity and sincerity. And servant leaders practice stewardship. We work with our whole being. We have excellence as part of our thinking, and we exhort and encourage one another. Being a leader, being a servant leader, doesn't necessarily require people to report to us in an organizational chart. It's about being an example, perhaps influencing and guiding others rather than having some formal authority over them. We can all be leaders. We can all be servant leaders. The questions we have to ask ourselves is, how do we practice godly servant leadership in our daily lives with coworkers and friends and members of our congregation, our respective families, with our parents, with our siblings, with our children or grandchildren? Does anybody here feel they're too old to be a servant leader? Does anybody listening on Zoom or hearing this later feel they're too old to be a servant leadership? Well, I haven't read anywhere that servant leadership is restricted by age. Even if we're not able to get around like we used to, we can still reach out to others. We can pray for one another. We can send cards to one another. Serving others through prayer and communication is a form of servant leadership. And servant leadership is not just something for the adults. It's something the kids can do too. It's about being kind and helping others. Imagine a friend who needs some cheering up, or a brother and sister need some help in a project. Quote here is, you don't have to be a grown-up to make a difference. Servant leadership is a characteristic of those who walk in the way, no matter how young, or no matter how old we are, no matter how much we can get around, or no matter how much we can't get around. Everybody can be a servant leader. It's our opportunity to serve others, sometimes silently, to reflect Jesus Christ in us. Whether it's in our homes, whether it's in our communities, whether it's in our fellow members of the body of Christ, even when we're at the Feast of Tabernacles, I believe the Feast of Tabernacles is an especially important place to practice servant leadership. If we're at a site, it's up to us to look out for those who are alone or calling somebody who may not be able to make it to the feasts themselves to see how they're doing. It's being a light when we're in the community where the feast is located and allow the light to shine for those who don't walk in the way, who wonder what makes them different, and the glory goes to God. Let's remember that ours is a calling of service. Service to God, service to others in this life. And in the future, when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, for which his holidays remind us, it's also a time of service. Turn to Revelation 5, verse 9. Revelation 5, verse 9. And I like to read from the English Standard Version. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scrolls and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, for every tribe and language and people and nation. And when you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, they shall reign upon this earth." A kingdom of priests. It's a calling to servant leadership. That is what Jesus Christ coming back to this earth is about. It's about restoring this earth. It's about living God's way of life. It's about hope. It's about servant leadership. And we can practice that now at this time. Let us all consider how we walk, act, and think as servant leadership in our daily lives.